Hey, Potters. Welcome to episode 263 of Cosplay, the podcast for all things cosplay and Halloween, because it's coming soon. Yay! Soon.
And I think for us, it's only 3 or 4 episodes away, quite literally, from this one. It may even be 2. I don't know anymore.
I am so looking forward to it, not because it's my holiday. That's Val's thing.
It's my holiday!
I just want the cooler temperatures outside, because we got the first nice taste of weather. The lows were down in the morning to 60 degrees. I actually had to pull out a jacket to wear, and it was wonderful.
Very briefly.
And then I could go outside and work on things for all of 2 days. And then we had a warming trend come back. So now we're supposed to be in the mid-90s again for the next 2 weeks, and I am so sad.
It's second summer. Well, we have 2 summers.
Yeah. It's like the rebound effect of Texas summer. So I'm very much looking forward to Halloween. So the temperatures come down, and then we get all kinds of fall foods, which are terrible to have anywhere close to my cosplays. And also Halloween candy, which is also a terrible thing to have anywhere close to my cosplay.
I've already got my candy bucket too. I was looking for something, and this will be nice for the king size candy that I hand out. So I'm getting geared up for it already. I'm so excited.
It's not the handing out of the candies that I'm worried about. It's me wanting to munch on the candy.
Munch on the candy?
As I am working on cosplay that is totally not meant to have chocolate on it.
This is where,
of course, I only eat chocolate candy.
This is where being dairy-free because of health reasons makes it very easy to not want to eat said candy.
I don't do it often because I'm not supposed to.
You're not supposed to, but it's really difficult because it's there and it's the holiday season, so they always pack on more of it, and you're just like, oh, man. You want to say no, but your body says yes.
And it's only around the candy holidays. So
yes.
Halloween, Valentine's
Day.
Easter.
Yeah.
That's it. No other time of year. I'll have to settle for jelly beans this year, I think.
There's nothing wrong with jelly beans. There are some good jelly beans out there.
There's nothing wrong with it. I simply have a very heavy preference for peanut butter chocolate.
I understand. As somebody who's a big fan of the dark chocolate.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. May the deities bless whoever came up with dark chocolate Reese's peanut butter cups.
It's the only peanut butter thing that I will eat because I do not like chocolate and peanut butter together. I know. I'm weird.
But I can't do that when I'm working on cosplay because 9 times out of 10, I'm working on some fabric like satin or silk or a very stiff synthetic cotton. And it's like, it's a magnet for whatever I have around me that's not supposed to touch the fabric, whether it's chocolate, whether it's sweat or oils on my hands, whether it's blood because I stabbed myself accidentally on a sewing needle.
Been there.
If it's just dust and lint in the environment. This time of year in Texas, the ragweed is absolutely insane. Mm-hmm. So, of course, whenever I open the doors, my cosplay fabric becomes a magnet for ragweed and all sorts of pollen. So the next time I put it on, I have to sneeze like crazy. Yeah. It's like I need the equivalent of the anti-static sheets, but it needs to be anti-everything sheets. Stains of any kind, dirtying, discoloration, cutting in the wrong place.
Yep. I've gotten into
rub it down with these magic sheets. It's like the equivalent of a Harry Potter wand, and poof, all my problems go away.
I've gotten into the habit of only having water near me as my drink of choice whenever I'm doing anything crafting or cosplay related, because guaranteed at some point I am either going to make an oopsie, it's either going to tip over, or I'll spill something. At least it's just water. Water will get out of anything. You just let it be and it'll dry. Like, I don't have to worry. But I get it.
I allow myself to have other things to drink. Generally, I don't eat if I'm working on cosplay.
Yeah, I keep them separate.
I allow myself drinks, but I keep them in a very distinct part of the room over there.
Over yonder, away from all the things that will attract to your cosplay.
Right. So that I actually have to like walk across the room to get to my drink.
Yep.
So that it's not near my cosplay.
Oh, it's a sad reality. It doesn't matter what you're doing with the cosplay, whether you're starting it or wearing it. All the bad things get attracted to it, to stain it and destroy it, I swear.
That's the one bad thing about Ren Faire being at this time of year, because then you wear garb outside and you go out and around the fair and you just soak in almost like water,
yes,
all the dust, all the particles, all the mud, all of the pollen, and you get back to camp at the end of the day and you feel miserable. And then you have to clean it, which basically just ends up like being airing it out for a while just to get the pollen and the dust out, and you can take like a little brush to it.
But still.
But you have to wash the mud out of it.
And that's exactly why I do not dress up when I do any type of Ren Faire. I've wanted to, but I know what's going to happen. I know how dirty I get just from my normal street clothes, and I'm not doing anything.
Well, it's particular to this time of year because of the pollen.
Because of the pollen. It is pretty bad in the early spring, though, if depending on true, where you go to. Like, that can get kind of dirty and mucky pretty quickly.
Also true. The mud is any time, but the pollen and the dust get really bad certain times of year.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
This is also why I rotate between my different types of garb so that I'm not wearing the same one and just feeling miserable all the time in my sinuses. Which, that is something that happens when you're at conventions and you're going around and cosplaying occasionally.
Yep.
You may have an allergic reaction to something, whether it's makeup, whether it's somebody's fragrance, whether it's some pollen outside because you traveled to a state you don't normally travel and they have different flowers outside, different trees outside. And sometimes you just have sinus attacks or allergy attacks, and it's not fun. And that's why I always pack allergy meds whenever I go traveling out to conventions, especially for cosplay. I take pain medication and I take allergy medication. Just in case.
Just in
case.
Hopefully
I never have to use it.
That's why I tell people for their emergency kit, always make sure you bring ibuprofen or aspirin, whatever your choice is, because at some point or another, something is going to start hurting and you want to be ready for it.
Yeah, especially if you end up either walking around in shoes that are not tennis shoes or sneakers.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you're wearing a wig.
Anytime you're wearing, it doesn't matter if the wig is a big, short, long, whatever. Because, I mean, even wearing my really nice crappy Sailor Mercury wig, you have that sucker on for 8 or 9 hours and it's tight against your head. It definitely does a number on you after a little bit.
The large wigs are a little bit worse, but only because they tend to cause the headaches in the front. Because the wig is pulling back constantly on the front of your head because of the extra weight in the back. But you still get the same kind of headache that you would get with a short wig. It's just in a different place on your head. But having any sort of pain medication, whatever works with your meds and in consultation with your doctor,
right,
bring some with you.
You'll
if you don't
it.
End up using it, great.
Congratulations.
And that's in addition to all of the other normal things that you should bring with you, like, you know, soap, shampoo, conditioner. You know, pack just like you would normally for a con. Can't believe I have to say this in 2022, but people still don't do the whole 6-2-1 thing.
No, they don't, especially with con season. Like, it's both ramping up and ramping down. It's weird right now, but so
right,
many are back in person. And
right,
we got a lot of new people, but also a lot of veterans going in. And still the veterans are not doing the same things. They're just kind of going full hog and crunching and all this stuff. And I'm like, no, you know that this is bad for you. Why are you not doing the things that are good for you? And then they regret it afterwards. And like, of course you did, because you didn't do you didn't sleep. You didn't have your meals. You just crunched the whole way through. Stop.
Note that it's also sometimes bad for the people around you.
Right.
Also.
Yeah.
But it seems that, you know, being in quarantine for 2 years, people have forgotten how to 6-2-1.
People have forgotten how to people.
We need one of those, you know, public service announcement type videos like they used to show at all con, where they teach you like
right,
all about con going and
here's how to have nice body hygiene.
Exactly. Those were the days, man. We need to go. I guess we just need to go back to like the beginning when
yeah,
we first started having cons and cons were a thing.
Just have a redo, have a repeat on some of that stuff.
Yeah.
I guess this is our cosplay updates, huh?
Yes. Unfortunately, I don't have anything to show you guys because I was in COVID quarantine for 2 weeks. I did not actually have COVID, but I was exposed long enough that I did not want to potentially infect other people. So I went ahead and did what I hope is the right thing.
Thank you for doing the right thing and keeping yourself safe and other people safe. I appreciate that.
And unfortunately, I had unexpected people in my apartment earlier this week and had to clear off my crafting area. So, yeah, I couldn't work on anything, which was unfortunate because I had all that downtime when I was in COVID quarantine when I could have been doing something. So the most I've really been able to do is just some more embroidery work because that's pretty self-contained and I don't have to worry about, you know, clearing off tables for that. So once I drag the rest of my stuff out, then I can continue sewing again. Which, of course, since we were talking about staining things, the reason I mentioned that is because what I'm sewing on is my Athena costume, which, of course, is white bridal satin.
Yeah.
Which is the worst magnet, besides maybe silk.
Wool.
For everything. Yeah, but wool doesn't attract things the way that white satin does, in my experience.
In mine, it seems to attract everything. That and velvet. Velvet seems to just pick up every little piece of everything. I'm just like, why?
Velvet also leaves deposits everywhere, to be fair. So it gives and takes. Satin can't really give. It just takes.
It just takes.
And so I'm constantly having to worry. My poor crafting table is actually starting to fall apart.
Aww.
Which that's probably going to have to be my next craft store visit, is going to be buying a new crafting table because the surface of it is starting to crack and peel and come apart, exposing the surface underneath. And it's a lot more difficult now to keep it clean. And by clean, I don't just mean like no debris on it. I mean any sort of stains or chemicals.
Right.
Because I occasionally use adhesives when I'm making props. And so things will soak into the table and it's a lot harder to clean. And it makes me feel very nervous when I put things like white bridal satin on that table now, because I don't know if any of what's there is going to soak up and stain my fabric irreparably, because I've already cut the pieces out. I'm sewing them now. I'm past the patterning and cutting stage. So I'm trying really hard to like lay newspaper over the top and then tape it down really well, just in case. Although I have found that newspaper ink occasionally bleeds too.
Oh yeah, absolutely does. On it. Absolutely.
So, you know, I only have so many options before basically I just need to replace the tabletop.
Yeah.
So that I don't have to keep taking these extreme measures. Extreme crafting is going to be the next television show. I know it. These extreme measures to protect, you know, my projects that I'm working on that are discoloration and stain magnets.
And even though like my table is still in really nice condition, given that the table itself is only 2 years old, like doing the painting that I've been doing recently, I'm still taking like paper bags and just tearing them up and using them and putting them down first. And then it's like, oh, okay. Just to be sure, because I still don't want to have to worry about stains just in case it happens. I can still clean it, but just in case. I'm just so paranoid about staining this thing.
In answer to your question, Tamlin, if I've thought about resurfacing it or if I could lacquer it, the short answer is yes, I have thought about resurfacing it. In fact, I had considered simply just purchasing a new set of MDF boards and just cutting out the different attachment areas myself, because it's one of those tables that is tripartite. It has three parts. And the two ends can fold just for moving it around or for storage's sake. And so there are little attachment knobs on the backs of those MDF boards so that when I pull them up, there's little legs that swivel out and lock in place. And there's hardware under there. And I can drill those out myself. The problem, though, is that with the supply chain crisis that we've all been experiencing, not just in the States, but worldwide, MDF in that size is very expensive.
Yeah.
In fact, it's nearly as expensive as me buying a new table.
Yeah.
And just having them do it. So in terms of lacquering, I could lacquer it if the weather is nice enough. Because much like resin or any other like setting type spray, it has to not be humid outside and it has to be within a certain temperature range, because otherwise the set is really either bad or tacky. and it also smells so bad.
It smells
awful.
Any kind of shellac
will smell terrible. And so not only would I have to worry about that, I'd also have to worry about my neighbors complaining about it because it would have to stay outside.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure it would, when it's wet with lacquer, I'm sure, just like my fabric, it would become a magnet for insects and dust and dirt blowing around and everything that I don't want in the lacquer. It would end up being like a coat of amber trapping insects permanently on my crafting table, which is not what I want, let me tell you. So, I have thought this through. Perhaps more than I should. It's easiest for me just to buy a new table. And then I can donate at least the pieces of my old one, or I can hold on to it. And maybe when, you know, the price of MDF comes down a little bit, then I can just make a second table.
Yeah.
Who knows? I don't really just want to dumpster my current one because I hate throwing things away, especially if they're still usable with just a little bit of TLC. So it depends on how fast the surface of it strips. If it keeps going at the rate it's going, I might be able to hold out for cheaper MDF. If it gets worse, then I may just have to break down and, you know, run to Joann's and get another table. Or maybe IKEA, who knows?
As one who has perused all the IKEA stuff quite a lot recently, I will say this, like, in terms of quality, like, I remember when people were making fun of IKEA for being so cheap and chintzy and like, oh, it'll just break apart. Like, I have a good feeling that these shelves that I build from them are going to last me for quite a long time. And the thing I appreciated was their versatility, the fact that you can kind of mix and match for what you need it to do. And there's so many IKEA hacks out there too. Like, you could build your own crafting table out of just random bits and bobs from IKEA and be totally fine.
I can say from personal experience, Byline, they are not sponsoring the show.
No, no.
In any sort of way. We don't ever have sponsors for the show or any ads. But from personal experience, I have shelves from IKEA that have actually been discontinued. They no longer make them. That have lasted me for nearly a decade.
Nice.
And they have been repeatedly disassembled and reassembled.
Very cool.
When I move. So I can vouch, yeah, it's cheap stuff, but if you take care of it, it can last you actually a really long
time.
That's
what I was just thinking. I'm like, as long as you take care of it and you're good to it, yeah, and you keep it clean and you keep them well maintained, they'll mm-hmm. be fine. They'll be like any other piece of furniture. You beat up the furniture, then yeah, of course it's not going to last.
Now, the surface that they put on them will strip over time.
Over time, sure.
From use. But then again, like, unless you're using like genuine oak or genuine birch or genuine maple, like, unless you're using genuine wood, any surface is going to strip over time with use.
Exactly.
So that's not unique to IKEA.
Exactly.
We're not bashing them for that. So yeah, that's my cosplay update. Recommendations to Amber for new craft table.
Well, since you mentioned Joann and possibly having to go out to get some new craft table, the one thing I did want to share, because I noticed this got posted on Twitter earlier this week, is that Michaels is running a clearance on a bunch of their cosplay items. It appears that some locations are no longer going to be having a cosplay section. So, of course, they are getting rid of stuff. And the big things they're getting rid of are their Warbla, and that's including the Warbla crystal art stuff, and then some of the molds from Evil Ted. And I'm talking like, the Warbla is $64.99 a roll. It's down to $30. The molds are going for like $1. So good time to go if you really need this stuff. I will say you cannot order online. You cannot do order online for store pickup. You actually have to physically go to the location. So obviously a lot of places are already sold out if you're in a big metropolitan area because people found out and they're wiped out, but there's still a lot of stores throughout the area that are carrying these items. And if you want Warbla, it's a good time to go pick that up. Go to Michael's, get it for more than 50% off. But they are
still a co-op too. Mm-hmm. If you don't live near one, but you know someone that does, like, get some friends together in a co-op and have that person just go out and buy a bunch, and then they can always ship it to you later.
Because it'll be far cheaper than buying it online at full price.
Oh yeah.
For certain, they're going to be keeping like their mod melt stuff and all of their EVA foam. Like all of that stuff is sticking around. It's just very specific individual cosplay items. And so far, all I've seen is just the Warbler and the Molt. So, but that's still one heck of a bargain, all things considered, if you really want some Warbler.
I'm surprised that they're actually still carrying mod melts. Joanne stopped.
I've only seen a couple of places still keeping bits and pieces of them. It's mostly online.
And those molds, if you're a cosplayer that cosplays a lot of characters that have gems on their outfit for any reason, there's a couple different mod melt molds that actually work really well for that. Like, highly recommend. I use mine all the time. And it's still just as good now as it was years ago when I first did the review for it. And it works with all kinds of stuff too. You don't have to use mod melts. You can use hot glue, you can use plaster, you can use real resin. Like, it will take anything. Technically, don't use chocolate. It's not a food safe mold.
It's not
Some
food
molds
safe.
actually are food safe, and some you can use. It doesn't have to be chocolate, but like any sort of fondant or food type item.
Food grade item, yeah.
Yeah. If you're going to use your mold for food grade items, please don't use it for resin and plaster and other things that are not edible. Safety first and safety second, cosplay third. Just noting that as somebody who recently bought molds that were specifically marked as food safe, but I have already poured resin into them, and so they will never
They
see
will never see the
the
light of
light. They
day.
will never see the light of chocolate.
No food will ever be touching these pieces. But yeah, that's all I have for cosplay updates. I just thought, like, hey, this is a good deal. Everybody go out now. Even by the time that this episode airs, there'll still probably be a couple of stores that still have Warbler available. So get on it while you can.
And I know Warbler kind of saw like this huge popularity spike, but now it's not really so much anymore.
People have gone back
But
to foam.
it's still a really good product for certain uses. It's not universally useful. It's not a magic wand. It's not going to, transform your cosplay just by having the presence of Warbler. But for certain types of things, especially in prop making and accessories for cosplay, it's really good. Plus, at $30, that's a steal.
That is a steal. For a good sheet of Warbler, that is a steal.
It used to go for $98 on a cosplay supply.
Once upon a time.
Yeah. Because it was almost $70 plus shipping
Plus shipping.
and taxes. So, yeah, it was expensive back in the day to get a sheet of Warbler, like a reasonably sized sheet. You can obviously get smaller ones for less. Ah, those were the days. Of course, now you can get all kinds of things in foam. And I think that's why everybody shifted back to foam. It's just more available, it's
It's
cheaper, it's
cheaper.
flexible, it's forgiving.
It's a lot more forgiving. It's a lot lighter. I mean, as great as Warbler is, I mean, the moment that you start working with it and you even just begin to add a couple of pieces to it, it starts getting hefty and it's just like, it weighs you down after a bit.
You can actually work with foam with a hairdryer.
Yeah.
For Warbler, you need a heat gun.
You
You
really need a
can't
heat
use a
gun.
hairdryer.
I've done it before. You can use a hair dryer. It's just very time consuming, and I don't recommend
Yes.
it.
Yes. And vice versa, you can use a heat gun for foam.
Yeah, if
It's
you
just
get the
kind of
thicker
overkill.
foams, yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of overkill for what most people do. And if you don't let me stop you, if you want to get a heat gun, by all means, go right ahead.
You got it. It's there. I mean, you do you.
All right, shall we get into today's topic?
Yeah, let's do it.
Is this your review or mine?
This is your review, and I've already got it queued up and ready to go, so I'm going to cut out this portion.
Excellent. So I went ahead and reviewed a book from one of our previous bookshelves called Cast Like Magic, and I thought it was very appropriate considering all of my trials and errors that I've shown you guys in the past couple of months with molding and casting. So this was very timely, and I wanted to make sure that I shared it with you all in case you were looking for, say, maybe a nice holiday gift to give somebody. So please enjoy. Today I wanted to share with you all one of the ebooks from our vast cosplay collection. This one is called Cast Like Magic, A Beginner's Guide to Mold Making and Resin Casting. And this is by Anna, who also goes by Folkenstahl. Let's go ahead and get started and have a look at the book. So the first thing that I wanted to mention about this book, and to congratulate Folkenstahl for, is that it's very beautifully photographed. There are plenty of photographs in here of her work that she has made using the same techniques that she describes in the book. My only tiny, tiny nitpick is that some of the photos are cropped a little bit short, and honestly, it makes me a little sad as a cosplayer because she does such fantastically detailed work that looks amazing that I want to see the whole thing. And so when the picture is cut just a little bit short, it leaves me wanting more, which I guess in a way is kind of a good thing. But other than that tiny nitpick, all of the pictures in here, they're very clear, they're very close up, they're very beautiful. So kudos on the visual setup of the book, first and foremost. The very first thing that she actually gets into, after a very general brief listing of materials, is sealing your model. And as a constructive criticism, maybe for a future edition of this book, what I would love for her to do, and she does do this later in the book, is actually go over the different materials that you use during these processes first. Because that way when cosplayers are reading this book, as they're using it as a piece of reference, they can assemble a shopping list first of all the different materials that they need and pick those all up at once, and then go ahead and follow along in the book instead of having some process coverage and then talk about materials and then some more processes and then talk about materials. It's a little easier. Maybe it's just my own preference, but to have all of the material information up front first and then go ahead and talk about how you use them. Because sealing the model is actually incredibly valid as a technique and should be covered. And she does that very, very well. It's just the order that I would say, well, maybe in a future edition, change it up a little. The next thing that she covers is safety equipment, probably the most important thing to cover when you're talking about molding and casting, because most of the time when you are molding and or casting, you're working with pretty smelly, nasty, definitely unhealthy chemicals to have around you for long periods of time. And having safety equipment like respirators, like safety goggles, as you see here, is a very, very necessary thing to do. And I'm very glad that she covers it in depth. She actually even goes over things like having gloves, protecting your working area, and wearing long sleeves, just in case something happens to splash or spill backwards on you, which, you know, this is cosplay, it's a messy art, sometimes it happens. Something I would love to see in a future edition is to maybe address allergies, because some of the materials used, especially with molding, may or may not have latex with them. And honestly, wearing a long sleeve shirt and or gloves isn't quite enough, because if the material soaks in to the long sleeves and still makes contact with you, it can still cause some problems. And so for those types of materials, may want to list maybe some alternatives that people can use if they have allergies to things like silicone, like latex, things that are very common to see in the molding process especially. The next thing that she covers in the book is getting into the process of mixing your materials together for molding. And she is 110% correct that you can use plastic cups and disposable brushes. One thing that I would like to mention, and she does address this briefly in the book, is using paper towels to wipe up spills. And she mentions that you should not put these near food, you should put them in the kitchen trash. And honestly, I would simply add to this, if you're going to wipe up any sort of chemical spills that have very strong scents with paper towels, you probably want to throw them out outside. Please don't throw them away inside, because having any part of your house smell like resin or smell like silicone or smell like any of these other chemicals for long periods of time can give you a serious headache, as I can speak from experience. Once she's gone over the basic process of molding and casting, then she starts going into the specifics of different mold making materials. And she does mention in this book, and she makes sure to say first that these are products that she has experience with. And that's good, because she can speak very authoritatively on them. She can speak with expertise on using these. And in future editions of the book, I would love to see expanded coverage of different materials. Because while silicone is a fantastic molding material, not everybody's going to have access to it from their local retailer or can get it shipped from our standard silicone retailers. And so it may be helpful to have a list of alternative products that people can use just in case they can't get their hands on these in particular. As she discusses the molding process, she goes into a lot of very solid detail. It's almost like an instructional manual that you can follow just step by step to go through the molding and casting process, and it's very well written. Once she finishes going into molding and finishing out the molding process, then she goes into resin. And it's the same thing here. She talks about very specific products, and you can see here it's mostly smooth cast type products. I am very, very glad that in her coverage of resin, she did mention that resin has a shelf life. And actually, she also mentions that molds do too. And those are two facts that those who are just getting into molding and casting may not have in the back of their mind as they're making their molds or as they're making their casts. You can't really let resin sit on a shelf for 2 years and then pull it off the shelf and expect it to still work the same way that you would resin that you just bought off the shelf in a store yesterday. It does have a shelf life, and I'm very, very thankful that she does address that. Something else that I actually found really interesting and I would love to know more about from her book is that she mentions that you can do wood effects and marble effects with resin. And she does go into things like powders and alumite and things like that. However, I would love to see more in depth about it. Show me how you do it step by step. Show me some pictures of what it looks like afterwards. She does have some pictures, as you can see here, of kind of still life of the process, but I would love to see more. Show me more of the steps, show me the finished product, things like that, because I had actually never heard that you could do wood effects or marble effects with resin, and that sounds amazing to me as a prop maker. So yes, please, 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 please tell me more. Also, she does go into some other methods in here, like rotocasting, like brush-on, like two-part molds, all of the different ways that you can mold and cast different materials. And what I would love to see added in here, as she is showing all of the different beautiful photographs of her work, is I would love to know which of the processes she used to make that thing. Some of them, like prop weapons, you can probably take an educated guess and say, okay, that's probably a two-part mold. But for some of them, I would love to know if she used brush-on mold making or rotocasting, because it ends up having a very different result in the end, and I would love to see pictures of that, or at least more pictures. Something that she addresses in a very separate section, one is registration keys, and the other is vents. I honestly didn't believe in the book that they needed their own separate sections. I think it might have been better to cover them during the process of molding and casting itself, because both of those things are techniques that you do while you are making the mold itself. So you, while you're making the mold, you will push registration keys into it to make sure that the two halves of your mold or multiple parts fit together, and then you'll make vents so that you can pour resin into it. And she actually covered both of these after she covered the mold making section, so I think it may have been a little more helpful to cover those in the same section as the mold making, just so that we as cosplayers don't forget to do those things, as I have done on many an occasion. So all in all, I would say this is a very solid tutorial book. Excellent step-by-step, many, many pictures for those of us who are visual learners, very clear, concise directions. All of the writing is very, very easy to follow. The only nitpicks I had were just the order in which certain things were covered. So maybe if you switch it around just a little bit so that everything flows in a little bit more linear of a diagram as you're going through the process, that's honestly the only thing that I would improve. Otherwise, everything else is fantastic. The book, I would say, is definitely worth your value to pick up if you're looking to get into casting or molding as a prop making process. All in all, excellent book. Very well done, Folkenstall, and this is definitely worth your guys' time. Hopefully that was more helpful to you guys than maybe some of my molding and casting flailings that you have seen throughout the year. I'm always looking to add to my library of books, especially for cosplay techniques that I don't feel that I'm very good at yet, and molding and casting is definitely one of those. It's also a reason why I have so many books on tailoring and sewing, because I can sew, but I can't tailor worth anything. And so I keep finding all of these really cool books. So I wanted to share them with you guys so that you can add them to your libraries too, if that is your cup of tea. Speaking of which, tea is another thing to keep away from bridal scent.
But tea is delicious.
It is. I just need to keep it away from my fabric. And frankly, my waistline. Because I put more sugar in my tea than I probably should.
Oh, see, I just drink the tea straight. So there.
Oh, no. That's too bitter for me.
Aw. Anything else that we need to add to the topic?
No, I believe I am good with the topic, unless you have anything you would like to add for Cast Like Magic.
I have nothing. I think that was a great overview, so thank you for doing that one.
Awesome. Do we have anything else we need to discuss in terms of business for the show?
Business for the show. I guess the only other thing that we can bring up is that with our After Dark session coming up pretty soon, I actually went and pulled up the calendar this time, and it is literally 2 episodes away from now, which is a little shocking. But I'm like, oh yeah, it's almost October. Duh. So we're still looking for suggestions on what you all would like us to do for our After Dark, which is anything and everything. In the past, we've played video games with the audience, Jackbox games. We've had people on the show. We've had guests. We've had fun Q&As. So if there's anything that you think would be great for us to do, give us a shout, you know, send us an email. You can post on our social media. You can contact us on social media. I've got a post going on Facebook, Instagram, and on Twitter. So you can leave your comment there. We can do repeats of something, or we can do something completely new. It's totally up to you. Mm-hmm. Somebody suggested that we do baking. And I was like, huh, that could be entertaining.
The Great Cospod Bake Off.
Yeah. Oh, I'd be game for that. So please leave us your comments, your suggestions on what you would like to see for our Halloween episode.
Indeed, and we do invite you guys to do that ASAP, simply because it gives us more time to be able to plan, and if there are specific guests that you want, for us to be able to reach out to those guests in time to, you know, let them move their schedules around, make sure they can be on the show, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Because, as Val mentioned, we've only got 3 more episodes or 6 more weeks before we're going to be at the After Dark. So go ahead and get those suggestions in ASAP. Tamlin, your comment made me think Hocus Pocus, because all I hear in my head is boo.
The sequel is coming out in like a week and a half.
Otherwise, we will go ahead and bring an end to this episode 263 of Cosplay Podcast for all things cosplay. Of course, if you would like to let us know what sort of craft table Amber should buy, or if you would like to let us know what we should be doing for the After Dark session, or if you'd like to let us know which of the main characters in Hocus Pocus that Nick Cage would be, feel free to contact us via any of our social media, which of course you can find here.
It's okay. That broke my brain. Sorry. The thing with Nick Cage broke me. Anyway, if you want to follow us, contact us, do all the shindigs and things, if you are viewing us right now, you know the information is located right underneath Amber over there to the left-hand side. If you are listening, visit us at cospod.org, on Facebook and Instagram at Cosplay Podcast, or on YouTube and Twitter at cospodcast.
Or, of course, you can email us, podcast@cospod.org, where you will get an answer from each one of us, probably with a Nick Cage-themed meme or two, maybe in Halloween costume. Who knows?
Every day is Halloween for Nick Cage.
It is that time of year. Otherwise, we will see you guys next time in episode 264. Please stay safe, stay healthy out there, keep working on those cosplays so we can all see your shining, smiling faces in cosplay at a local con ASAP. We'll see you next time, everybody. Happy cosplaying. Bye-bye.